Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
Oh, we're back. Welcome back, man. In the moment we've all been waiting for. Yes, he's back with his monthly segment, Think 504, Making New Orleans Think. Mr. Jeff Thomas, man, welcome back to Thinker.
Oh, thank you, OT. Glad to be here. Man, thank you for the opportunity.
You know, you couldn't pay somebody to give you the good stuff that just comes through this town
I'll
for
tell
you to write about, think
it,
about.
It's laid out for me,
it's
right?
It's never a dull
like
moment.
Me, I tell you, absolutely, absolutely. It's you know, from Trump to the AG to Landrieu and Governor Edwards to the convention center. We're going to cover it all this morning.
I mean, and congratulations, man, growing over a quarter of a million, subscribers now. I think 504 is hot.
Thank you. Thank you. I tell you, and I got to attribute it to being on this show. It really helps boost our numbers every time.
Well, we've been boosted together. WBOK right now has the largest listening audience that they've ever had right now. So it's been unbelievable, the growth, man. So, man, let's get right into it. The 45th president. It's got to be a strategy. It's got to be more than just tweets and some of the foolishness.
Yeah, well,
it's got to be more than that.
Well, sure. I think a part of it is distraction. Absolutely. If we're talking you know, all of this foolishness, then his agenda that he's really going after is really going to be able to be promoted. And so that's a big part of what he's doing. But personally, I think Donald Trump is going to be great for African Americans. Great for African Americans.
Well, let me stop you there before you go. Mm-hmm. Yvette Carnell, the African American academic, you know, her and Bryce Watkins, mm-hmm. they do their show on YouTube all the time. Mm-hmm. It, one of the things she said was that, you know, so what is our strategy for surviving Trump? Mm-hmm. This is potentially an opportunity for us, and you agree.
Well, listen, this is why I do agree with that, but let me tell you why. Why I think Trump is going to be good for black people is this. We had Barack Obama. And you know, complacency, right. He allowed us
the
to be
black
apathetic.
President.
He allowed us to be
he
apathetic.
He didn't have to do anything.
Exactly right, because we had
just
Barack.
Be black.
Right. I mean, the symbolism, the idea that we've got a black president, so all of those concerns. Listen, being black in America means, you know, we have alienable rights, not inalienable.
Right. Right.
Our rights are written into the Constitution, right? So that means they can be taken away at any time. I mean, frankly, we have to always stay vigilant. And so it's sort of like waiting to exhale. And I think that when Barack Obama became president, we thought, oh, now we can exhale. Things are cool. We good. Mm-hmm. We got somebody with our back. And so we became apathetic. We became complacent. We thought that we didn't have to get up every day and worry about whether or not our voting rights were going to be taken away, whether or not, you know, attacks upon mm-hmm. our existence were going to be rampant or not. But now, since we have the antithesis of Barack Obama, we have Donald Trump as president, now people are going to recognize that the precariousness of being black in America, the precariousness of the civil rights that we...
Taking things for granted.
Exactly right. And so that's why I think he's going to be great for us, because he's going to make us have to do the kinds of things that we have to do.
Let me say that potentially I agree with you. When I look at what folk are doing with the Cushite Center, mm-hmm. Brother King... Tracy Major Riley, mm-hmm. yourself with the blog and your writing, Brother Malik Al-Assad. And people are moving in certain sectors, and they've been doing it for quite some time right now.
That's right.
That are actually being more intentional about our own community. Of course, I'm always concerned because, you know, how long do these things last?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it transitional? Does it take time to be transformational? But in spite of all of the yanks, I do see many indicators moving in the right direction if we continue down those paths.
Well, you're right. You know, I think that there have always been part of being black in America is that we've relied upon leaders. We've relied mm-hmm. upon people mm-hmm. who have pushed the envelope, who have explored the issues, put forth, you know, like think tanks kind of. Mm-hmm. And I think that's always going to happen. I think where we run into issues is – because and I'm going to repeat myself a little bit, because when we had Barack Obama as president,
yeah.
we thought we didn't have to worry about whether or not we needed to be out there on the front lines. But now you see stuff like Black Lives Matter. You see all of these kinds of issues. We see Think 504. We got WBOK Live in effect. And it's important that we understand that our rights are alienable, that they can be taken away at any given time mm-hmm. on any given date. And it's not that big of a stretch when you see Donald Trump talking about sending back the Latino brothers. The next step, it's not that big of a stretch to go to look at what happens with black people and the rights that black people enjoy and think we enjoy right now. And, you know, the fact is, though, that economically we're still oppressed. Mm-hmm. And until we are able to move ourselves and our community economically, we can have as many presidents, mayors, governors.
I want to get to something because as a journalist, you know, mm-hmm. I look at you the same way in terms of your profession. I look at CNN and other stations, MSNBC, people who report. And what comes to mind is I watch, you know, I've turned off a lot of the news, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm not reading your blog or Black Agenda Report mm-hmm. or some alternative news sites right now, every now and then I'll peek at some of the mainstream stations.
Sure.
And I watched Wolf Blitzer spend almost an hour on chasing Donald Trump on wall and foolishness mm-hmm. and on his tweets. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he's winning. Mm-hmm. Whether he does any of this or not, he knows that there's a large portion of America that's going to believe whatever he says. They believe the fake news. Mm-hmm. And it is a distraction.
It is a distraction. I was driving across the bridge this morning coming here, and I saw this big F-250, big Ford pickup truck. On the back of the tailgate, it said Trump in huge letters, "Make yeah. America Great Again." He had some stickers. He had a Confederate flag. He mm-hmm. had the Mississippi State flag, and he had the Louisiana flag on his truck. So that to me is endemic, and it talks about the kinds of people that Trump.
It's okay to boast that. It's okay to boast that now.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And then listen, that's okay. Listen, I remember the Barack Obama bumper stickers. And that's America. We have freedom of speech.
My Malcolm X.
Exactly right. Exactly right. That I'm not begrudging his right to do that. He certainly has that right. But I think it indicates a mindset that these people now feel emboldened, and that these people now the rhetoric of Trump is having an effect upon people like that who have
Before we segue here. You said that Trump is actually offers an opportunity to us. Jeff Thomas, as you write and listen and read and research, what are a couple things that black folk could use as an opportunity under this 45th president?
Right. Well, I think this, that we have to understand politically, because this is a political battle, mm-hmm. and politically our strength is in numbers, and so one of the things we need to worry about, one of the issues that I see is the gerrymandered districts that exist around the city, around the state, around the country. And so because of that, you have elected officials who are able to be ideologues and demagogues because they only represent only white people or only black people. And so
Republicans and conservatives and Tea Party – they were masterful when they started that movement.
Exactly right. And so now that's why we have this divided government, because mm-hmm. we have these polarized ideologues mm-hmm. who represent districts who only they don't have to represent, you know, New Orleans mm-hmm. East and Uptown. They don't have to represent mm-hmm. Lakeview and parts of Metairie.
Most state legislatures are Republican now.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Even I mean, it filters down to, you know, our state legislators, the senators mm-hmm. represent districts. Mm-hmm. Although some state Senate seats, for example, J.P. Morales represents a wide swath
of Orleans and Jefferson.
Exactly right. And I think we need more legislators like that, districts like that. And so when you have representatives who represent a variety of political opinions within their base, then they have to be better legislators.
But African-American legislators have been part of drawing these super districts and boundaries to protect themselves also.
Exactly right. And that's part of the problem. And so as a result, if you have this polarization, mm-hmm. and this is the situation that we're in now, we need to now, you know, the Black Caucus, which our representative Cedric Richmond is chairman of, needs to be extremely influential as much as it can be. And so they need to be in those rooms. They need to be holding people accountable. We need good government. We need government from our legislators.
And that's why Jeff Thomas makes him think, because ultimately, if we're going to answer and address some of these political questions about how unfair it is, Jeff Thomas, your work and your study on gerrymandering and how these districts are drawn will have a major impact if we can undo that. Thank you.
That's right.
The AG. You know, AG was actually on the show, man. We had
a
great show
that
day. As a matter of fact, we did a little survey. 70% of our callers may not have been for him, but they were in favor of anybody doing anything to help.
Yeah. Listen. Let me just say this. I didn't listen to him that day. I was fortunate enough to be able to listen to him later. And you know, Think 504 has a piece that the AG needs to stay in his lane, kind of.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely true. Now, do I think the AG is doing stuff for political reasons, even though he denies it?
That's what politicians do.
Absolutely. So is he running for governor or what? Some other re-election? He absolutely is.
Right.
That's the motivation for all of his actions. I mean, he's a political leader. That's what he does. The issue for me is whether or not he might be well-intentioned, but whether or not what he's doing has a good effect. Let's talk about what his actions are doing. Because to me, that is, you know, we talk about, you said this the other day, what's the definition of insanity?
Insanity, right.
I mean, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I mean, we sit here in Louisiana, in New Orleans, the mass incarceration capital of the world, and what we have is the AG putting more people in jail, attempting to put more people in jail. Now, let me back up and say that this violent crime issue is real.
Yes.
We have to get these violent criminals
off the street. Period.
We absolutely positively have to do it. Part of the issue is, and I've said this before, your friend Michael Harrison has done a little bit of this, and the mayor has done a little bit. But the biggest problem with the NOPD is not that we need more manpower. We don't. We have enough police officers. We have still a 4-to-1 manager cop to street cop ratio.
I want you to break that down, because you have consistently taken that position.
Yeah.
And it's not based on your own study. It's based on national study. Explain that to our audience, please.
Sure. Well, the International Chiefs of Police did a study. And based upon population and how many police you need, it's about 1 per 1,000. And based upon that number, we need about 1,100 police officers right now. The thing is, you need those police officers on the street. We have 1,100 police officers, around 1,000 police officers right now today. The problem in New Orleans is that we have a 4-to-1 manager cop to street cop. What do I mean? For every cop that you see driving on the street, there are 4 in the office. They're doing civilian work, in my opinion.
Okay.
They claim they're doing police work. They're doing civilian. It used to be 7-to-1. And so when we had this big crisis, and they said we redeployed officers. Now it's 4-to-1. So we still have too many guys sitting behind desks. And this is
all based on national studies.
And
experts in the field of police deployment.
Exactly right. If people go to Think 504, they can see why we don't need more cops in New Orleans, and it lays it out completely.
Right.
But the issue is that what do we do with our officers? Mm-hmm. How do we deploy them? And do we need more, or do we just need to deploy them better? We just need to deploy the officers that we have better. I mean, I've said this on your show at least a year ago, and it's still the same. They've gotten a little better. It was 7-to-1. Now it's 4-to-1. So every time you see one cop on the street, recognize that there are 4 others in the office who knows what they're doing. It's civilian work. And, of course, they claim it's police work. But, you know, I met a police officer one day where we were in the store, you know, in line, and somebody got into a little argument with the cashier over whether or not she could use her debit card. And so the cashier said, I'm going to call the police.
A state debit card?
I don't know which one it was. and the lady said, I'm going to call the police. And so the lady looked back at me. Yeah, right. And she said, she don't know. I am the police.
Uh-huh.
And so we got to talking, because it took a long time. The manager had to come. Ultimately, the lady was able to use her card. And the police weren't called. But she talked about that she worked for the police department and that she had a job. But I said, so are you on the street? She said, no, I do police work, but I do it in the office. And so I said, well, what do you do? And so she said that she processes paperwork to make sure that the charges are filed properly.
Something that a civilian could do.
This is a civilian. And she was adamant that this was police work.
Right.
I said, man, you know.
Yes, I'd rather see you on the street.
Right. You know, I think that's part of the problem. We have this culture in within the NOPD ranks that you spend a couple of years on the streets and then you get a promotion or you get an inside job. And listen, it's dangerous work. I'm not a police officer. I would never be a police officer. Right. I don't have it in me to be the guy out there with face chasing bullets.
Absolutely.
And I respect their work. I really do. It's important that we have strong police officers.
And they should be paid better.
And they should be paid better. And it's important that we recognize the value of a police
officer. Instead of the convention center sitting on $250 million.
Oh, we're going to get to that.
Get that to our men and women in the police department. Well, let's move on, man. Of course, we never have enough time, but we always have these hot issues. 504-260-9265. Making New Orleans think. Think 504. Jeff Thomas, man. Some brilliant topics we're discussing. The governor and the mayor just had a major press conference. They identified up to $40 million after people like you, the station, and Reverend Bishop Tom Watson came out against putting all the money in the quarter. They said that it's a citywide initiative now. Mm-hmm. But it was very easy to find in excess of $40 million.
Let me tell you, you know the word boondoggle?
Go ahead.
People look up that word boondoggle. Basically, it's government doing a bunch of work to make it look like they're doing good work, but they're not doing anything. They're not having any real impact. And I might add that I think that this $41 million is actually going to have a negative effect on crime. It's going to increase crime. Same thing that the AG's force is doing, frankly.
At least be negligible.
That's right. Well, let me tell you why I think. Listen, putting people in jail for minor offenses increases crime.
It's a ripple effect, yes.
It increases crime. I mean, this again, it's not Jeff Thomas.
Eve Abrams study, Unprisoned, I think it was, Lee, actually talks about the effects of putting minor offenders and the ripple effect that it has on the family and the system.
Exactly.
It's adverse.
And we've been doing that for years.
That's a good point. I never thought about it like that.
And so that's what I talked about earlier when I talked about the AG sending. I mean, I'm sure you
guys. Because many of us actually were not that opposed to someone else putting some manpower here, but if it's not part of an overall or greater strategy, you're just continuing insanity.
Right, exactly right.
That's why you're making us think.
Well, you're exactly right. You're making you're disrupting people's lives. He had 11 arrests for marijuana offenses. And then, worst of all, is that he ignored Louisiana or a New Orleans law. They arrested him and charged him with the state charge, which is much more punitive. We've basically decriminalized marijuana possession in the city of New Orleans. He came in. Let me tell you what it's like. I'll give you a good example. He was the AG and Barack Obama was the president. And if the Justice Department had come in and said, you know what, for public safety, the Louisiana AG's office is just losing too many cases on civil rights here in the state of Louisiana. So what we're going to do is this. You got some cases going on right now. Right. We're going to send in some Justice Department lawyers. We're going to argue these cases for you right now. So, you know, listen, and we're going to be here. We're just going to take over the case. We're just going to walk into court and argue it. I don't think the AG would
be happy. But let's talk about what you contend here. And for our listening audience, listen real close. Jeff Thomas, Making New Orleans Think, think504.com, 504-260-9265. What you have contended is that how easy it was for the governor and the mayor to get together and find over $40 million, which to continue the program would actually be almost a $4 million allocation, when the governor says we're broke, when the mayor says we're broke, when the council, when the legislature say we're broke, but then immediately something happened in the quarter, businesses, the people in the quarter riled up, tourism community riled up, they immediately went to a source and found $40 million.
Well, several things about that. The first part is practicing insanity again, and that is arresting more people is not going to solve this problem. Mm-hmm. That's number one. But then, number two, we're talking about where these funds came from. And then I want to back up a little bit.
Make me think now.
When you drill down into this money, where did this money come from? All right? Two sources came from the convention center. about half of it. Mm-hmm. The other half came from CDBG money. This is a despicable, deplorable act by this mayor and this governor. You know, CDBG money.
And you've been supportive of the governor. You've questioned some of him balancing the state budget on the backs of poor people. You've given him all the benefit of the doubt. Listen, but you're calling it like you see it.
Listen. I think this is a despicable act that the governor and the mayor had this 41, taking $20 million CDBG dollars. You know, CDBG is Community Block Development Grant.
Community Development.
Right. This is money that's earmarked for, you know, jobs training. It's earmarked
housing.
It's earmarked for improving the lives of people. So you're taking away money from these programs to do what? To arrest people and put them in jail. And what you're going to do is you're going to...
We're already good at that.
We've proven that it doesn't work. We have some of the worst. We have, according to the AG, more crime than Chicago. You say so, too. I don't doubt it.
The trace reports in terms of gun violence, we're 2.5 times worse than Chicago.
Right. So we have a terrible crime problem. And arresting people has not worked.
I want you to drill down on that because consistently over the last few times we've talked about crime, you have said that, you know, we're already good at putting people in prison.
The best.
We're already good at mass incarceration.
The best.
But I don't know if people have paid attention, but I have. You do make me think. Yeah. We have the most violent offenders, the killers, the shooters, the rapists, the assaulters. They've gotten away. What do you mean by that?
Well, here's the problem. You can't. The AG even said it. We have to have. There's a multidimensional problem. We have a problem of crime. We have a problem of people becoming violent. We have a problem of people. Some of these people are sociopaths, right? Some of these people need. There's nothing you can do.
In New Orleans, we have more than
our share. They're incorrigible. Some of these people are creations of the poverty and oppression of the city of New Orleans. And if we don't address the poverty and oppression of the city of New Orleans, there's nothing that you're going to do to stop the creation of these criminals. We are creating criminals. We are a laboratory for criminal creation. That's the problem.
That's a strong statement, Jeff Thomas.
It's the truth, Oliver Thomas.
We're actually aiding and abetting in our own.
No, no, no. We are creating criminals in New Orleans.
That's a powerful
statement. The way the system is designed, why is it so bad here? It's not because black people are worse in New Orleans. The water ain't worse here.
And we've been good at it for far too long.
We have a system that creates criminals. Now, listen, we have our share of sociopaths. Those guys.
You stand by that?
I'm here on your radio show talking about it. We're going to write it on it on Think 504. I'm telling you, we are creating the criminals in the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana. We create the system by which these people are grown. It's not sociopaths. Listen, some percentage of the population are sociopaths. I don't know what it is, 10%, 5%, 1%, right. Whatever it is.
Right.
We got those.
Right.
The rest of the people in New Orleans, because they are oppressed, because we have this system of mass incarceration, which has destroyed families and continues to destroy families, because we have a bad educational system, because we have lack of economic opportunity, people out here are robbing and stealing for money. They're not robbing and stealing for drugs.
But Jeff Thomas, in the minute that we have before we go to break, you know, how can we constantly say that we have very little resources, lack of opportunity, but they can always find money.
Listen, we're going to get to that. Let me tell you something. It's this $41 million. I'm sorry, this $250 million. Right. I mean, we're going to drill down on why the convention center has so much money. They're wasting money. They are hiding money, and it is.
And they're probably not the only agency.
There are tons more, and we're going to talk about that.
Hey, call, tweet. Tell people to tune in right now. He makes New Orleans think. Think 504. Mr. Jeff Thomas. We'll be back after the break.
The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Oliver O.T. Thomas. I want to thank Roe Brown and General Newsom for what they do with news and sports. No one does it better than Roe. Man, just got off the phone. Jeff, one of the number one investigative reporters in America today. Lee Zurich, of course, you know, he broke that whole story.
He did. He did a great job.
He did about the convention center. And one of the most obvious things, we were talking about it on the air, and I just asked him, was that when he asked the general manager of the convention center, so what do you need all that extra money for?
And so
I just got off the phone. I said, Lee, did he ever really answer your question? He said, no.
Right.
He said, on top of that is that if the current trend continues, they're going to take in over $25 million a year in reserve.
That's right. And let me tell you something. They're taking in money for an expansion that never happened. They're taking in money. Listen, yes, sir. Well, let me tell you something, Oliver. We funded 5 expansions at the convention center. We've paid for and are continuing to pay for five. Now, let me just tell you, there have only been 4 expansions at the convention center.
But we paid for 5.
We paid for 5.
The hotel?
We paid for 5.
We paid for a convention hotel, too.
They're talking about building a hotel right now. Absolutely. That's part of their plans. Absolutely. I think it's getting shelved because they're getting so much pushback from the city, from the public. But the fact is, these guys are taking in money for an expansion that never happened.
That would seem to me to be
corruption.
But we're talking to Jeff Thomas, the journalist and writer, Think 504, of a quarter of a million viewers and readers of his blog, Think 504. But Lee, you know, I'll never forget the caption when I'm watching television and Lee Zurich asked him that question. So what do you need, basically?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've never the look on the guy's face like, man, don't ask me that. Yeah, well.
I think he said economic development. Right, exactly right. And so, you know, and then he said, but we need economic development in our building. Well, let me just tell you something. This is one of the biggest boondoggles in American history.
Another boondoggle.
And this is there's this professor in Texas who talks about convention centers and the convention center business. Let me say this to you, Oliver. You know, when the convention center first came on board here in New Orleans in 1986, there were about 500,000 visitors coming to the convention.
Drum roll.
That was a lot. Now,
we got 500 million. We got 5 million now.
So how many do you think we have right now?
How many conventions do we average
now? How many right now? Listen, we had 30 years. We had 4 expansions. No, we paid for 5, but we had 4 expansions. That building got dramatically bigger, 4 times bigger.
How many conventions do we
average? Wait. Think about it. We have that convention center brings in has $250 million in reserves. It brings in $25 million every year. That convention center, I mean, you know, back in 1986,
drum roll,
we were spending $8 on a visitor. We were bringing in $500,000 because the convention center was booming. Wait. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're talking about 30 years ago.
We were bringing 500,000. Right. And so, you know, this was the goose that laid the golden egg.
Well, we got to be breaking records now.
Let me tell you, how many more people are coming into the city? How many people are coming?
I can't wait. Make me. How many?
500,000. So.
Wait. Hold on a second. No. So we're still averaging.
It's been a flat business. There's been no growth.
Kind of like state budget.
There has been, well, the state budget's been going up, but there has been.
Revenue.
Well, revenue, right. Well,
so we're still averaging
500,000 convention visitors in the city of New Orleans.
And raking in an average of $25 million in reserves each year.
Only thing that's going up is how much money they're spending. The building, let me tell you another fact.
Wow.
80% of the time, 90% of that building is not even in use. It's just a big old building sitting there. Nothing's happening. It's empty. If it weren't for Essence Fest, those numbers would be even lower.
We didn't land on Convention Rock.
Convention
Rock
But they're bringing it. This is a serious thing because we talked about how we're creating criminals. This is how. This convention center is part of the creation of criminals.
You're building this fossil that basically says that because of the gross mismanagement or how we refuse to efficiently utilize all of the city's revenue, whether
Correct.
It's city government, whether it's state.
Let me just cut you off.
Okay.
It's not efficiently utilized. It's utilized in the black community in jobs training for black men. in support of the black community. It's
being intentional, being specific.
Exactly right. It's not a matter of efficiency. Mm-hmm. It is a matter of what we're doing with the money. And what we choose to do with the money, I mean, we got a mayor who's hell-bent on getting as much money out of the people and fines as he can.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the convention center has, let me tell you, I'll talk about my friends a little bit. I used to be a commissioner in the New Orleans Regional Business Park. I sat out there for about 2 years. That little bitty park, that little bitty board, at the time we had a millage, you know, we had about I think we had $5 million sitting there in the bank.
Right.
And, you know, the job of the park was to do economic development in New Orleans East, the New Orleans Regional Business District, which is, you know, NASA to the coffee plant.
Folgers, yeah.
Folgers, all that kind of stuff. It's a great vision. I think they're struggling for funds now. But that little bitty park had $5 million. There are 40, 50 other boards and commissions with $5 million.
So you're saying the report that Lee Zurich did is actually the tip of the iceberg.
Absolutely.
If someone began to look at, and these are public entities, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That are sitting on major cash.
That's right.
In this town where people are struggling, that could actually be strategic and intentional about helping fix the crime problem. You're saying crime problem.
Yes. Yes, sir. I'm saying this. I'm saying that if we want New Orleans to be a great city, we all want New Orleans to be a great city. We all want the best for New Orleans. We want the city to grow, to expand. We want people to be as great as they can be here. And the only way that is going to happen, OT, is if we start investing in our people. We need to invest in, let me tell you, the mayor, when we had this big crime problem, they came up with a plan to arrest more people, protect the French Quarter.
Right.
That's another problem for me. Let me talk to you a little bit about tax dollars.
Okay.
You know, for every dollar that we send to Baton Rouge, we get back about 18 cents in New Orleans. We send a dollar, we get 18 cents back. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the real number. So what we're doing is, and now let's talk about the real numbers. It's about $750 million that the hotels in New Orleans generate that we send
yearly
to Baton Rouge every year.
Yearly.
Every year. Mm-hmm. Now that money, which is generated off the slave wages of the people, used to be for years.
Some of the lowest wages and benefits per capita in the nation.
And listen, we talked about that before.
Right.
Let me tell you, the Marriott Hotel, for example, pays maids in New Orleans hotels about $18,000 a year on average. The same Marriott Hotel, which charges a lower room rate in Atlanta, Georgia, pays the same maid to clean the same bed. The rooms are exactly identical. Pays them about $40,000.
Oh, wow. We're going to go to the lines right now. Line one, Fred. You're on with Mr. Think 504. Jeff Thomas, making New Orleans Think.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, on the top of the convention center, when it first opened up, talking for somebody that was involved with it for many, many years, it started out about at least 90% to 100% all full-time employees.
Mm-hmm.
Now the majority of employees are all part-time and contract workers that don't get any benefits whatsoever.
Right. Correct.
There's not one picture of Ernest and Morial anywhere in the building.
Mm-hmm.
If you find one, please let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so we've really recessed, and everything now is subcontract labor. There's very, very little union participation.
Good point.
At one time, it was 90% union. Now there's only one craft. I think the electrical department is unionized in the building. Most of the people are just there, and they're under the merit system, and they have no kind of collective bargaining agreement or anything. So I think Mr. Zurich was on top of something. He needs to stay on it. And more investigation and audit ought to be done on the building. So
he's right, Fred.
Fred, thank you. Thank Fred. I think you're
Fred's right.
I think Mr. Zurich's piece now. If that's a horse they ride with several boards and commissions, I think there's a whole lot we're going to really find out in this city. It's about where the money actually is.
Yeah, it is talking about what we're investing in. We're in the convention center.
Not the people.
Not the people. Certainly not the people. And if what Fred is saying is true, and I don't doubt him, but think about what that means. We have an opportunity to employ men. We have an opportunity to give men and women jobs.
Well,
and it's great jobs.
Lines are
high-paying jobs.
Lines are lit up right now, man. One of the hottest topics in the city right now. Everybody's talking about it. everywhere we go, barbershop, beauty shop. Mm-hmm. The convention center sitting on 200, and the city broke, and this agency sitting on 250.
Black man can't get a job.
$1 million.
Contract labor.
line three. You're on with MrThink504.com. Lee?
Good morning, OT.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Jeff Thomas.
Hey, Lee. How are you, sir?
Pretty well. My question is, and my passion for the last few years has been the tax dollars that come out of the New Orleans East and the Lower Ninth Ward.
Mm-hmm.
This amounts to about 42% of the budget, which is about $250 million to $280 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those monies, and that's not including sales taxes, which amounts for another $45,000, those monies could be well spent if the monies were back in our neighborhoods.
That's right.
I think that's what Mr. Jeff Thomas
exactly
is contending,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
let me just say, Lee, you're 100% right. And that's part of the problem. You know, the city of New Orleans is funding the state of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Make no bones about it. Don't get that twisted. The city of New Orleans is funding the state of Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
We're paving roads in Alexandria and Lake Charles. We're providing welfare dollars to white women in Shreveport, and we in rural Louisiana, North Louisiana. We are providing that money, and it's basically the wages of based upon the labor of young black women who are working in hotels, who are creating this money.
And illegal immigrants
and
now in hotels.
Well, right, now it's different, right?
Right, right.
And so you're right when we talk about the tax dollars, the way they're spent from New Orleans East. We don't get the same reciprocal amount of services in
don't.
New Orleans East.
No.
You're 100% right.
Yes.
Go ahead, Lee.
You're saying that this money comes in, but goes out, but we don't get anything.
Well, it actually doesn't go out, and what he's saying is that it's actually sitting in reserve. So the beauty of the article that I'll never forget the look on the face on the man's face when Lee Zurich said, "So what is this money for?"
Right.
It was a long pause, and then he said, "For economic development." Well, the convention center is not in the economic development.
Mm.
Business. The convention center, they're,
right.
they're in the convention near business. So, and then the other part of the article, the interview that Lee did says, when he informed us that they only represent about 6% of the entire tourism industry.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting on $25 million in reserves that you can count on every year, and you still are only averaging about 500,000 conventioneers, but you're raking in the cash.
That's right.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is that there is a growing consensus in eastern New Orleans and the lower Ninth Ward and across the city and other areas that we could be an independent city in East New Orleans to the fact that we would be second larger than Lake Charles, Louisiana. Now, we can fund our own police force and fire department and the emergency department, the payroll, to the tune of about $27 million, giving police officers an annual salary of $50 million, plus the state the monies that the state gives.
Thank you, Lee. Lee lines up.
Our own city, and we just got to get off our dusty rusties, off our behinds, and get to work. Now, we are planning a meeting of minds to, because I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I have a desire and a passion to make this city of New Orleans a reality.
Okay.
And it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. But so what? What are they going to say? Well, we can't let them go. You don't own me to let me go.
The lines are lit up, Lee, man. Thank you for
thanks,
doing
Lee.
That.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you.
We're
going to go to line two. Miss Janet, you're on with MrThink504.com, Jeff Thomas.
Good morning, Mr. Oliver Thomas.
Good morning,
and
to you,
Mr.
Janet.
Thomas. Before
hey,
Katrina, yes, I agree with the name, the Big Easy. But now we should change that name to the Big Greedy because of high rent, high property tax,
like
high water bill, light bill, traffic cameras, fines and fees, et cetera.
Wow.
And the meter maids now, Mr. Thomas, are following the resident home because in the 13 and 1400 block of St. Ferdinand, some of the residents, they receive tickets at 7:30 at night. But not parking the correct way, you know, like facing on different sides of the street.
You know what, Ms. Janet, you're making me think.
Part
of that $41 million, here's part of why that money is despicably spent to me. They are investing in parking enforcement. This $41 million, they invested in cars that can track your license plate. And what those cars do when they find your license plate, that they're looking for people with lots of tickets that they can boot.
They come find you.
Wow. They boot you.
Wow, Ms. Janet, thank you so much.
So, and
thank you.
That's
thank
what
you.
They're talking about, crime reduction, uh-huh. booting people's cars.
Wow, line 1G, you're on with Mr. Think 504, Jeff Thomas.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Listen, you're looking at that. The city, we need to have an independent auditor to come in and look at all of these boards and how monies mm-hmm. are being spent. A complete audit.
Agreed.
Audit everything. Great. We should audit that. Because I'll give you another one. Look on the back of your tax, your property tax bill. Mm-hmm. Why am I paying for the Audubon Institute?
Oh, I've been saying that for 25 years. Thank you so much. No doubt.
They let you go one day a year for free if you're a resident.
That's right.
Why are we paying for those people? And that is a public, a private entity.
The average New Orleanian. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but you're striking a chord with me. The average New Orleanian can't even afford the price of admission into the zoo that we're paying for.
It is the power of the way Lee Zurich did that article, is that what role do these boards and commissions and agencies play? What role, what benefit does the citizens get from whatever their mission is or whatever their agenda is or whatever their operation is in the city?
And when you look at it, you're paying these property taxes as outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we take reallocation of funds need to happen?
That's
because
right.
We have the funds, but we're using them inadequately and inefficiently.
That's right.
Wow,
I said yesterday that we have a problem, and you addressed it earlier. Black men need to be advocated for, not the black man who is doing crime,
right.
The regular black man who wants to do right by his family. We should be looking at that.
And we would reduce crime if we advocated for black men. There would be fewer black men involved in crime if we supported black men instead of having this punitive approach to
the way
we do black men.
Thank you, G.
You're right.
Wow. It kind of adds to the fact that when folks say New Orleans doesn't have any money, yes.
Right. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
I want to talk about a couple of solutions.
Please.
I have the BHOP program.
Okay.
All right. And what that program does, I think I've talked about this before on your show, mm-hmm. Oliver. It's Blight Elimination Home Ownership Program, BHOP.
Mm-hmm.
And what the BHOP program does is what we take is 500 men and we give them a job tomorrow. We hire 500 men tomorrow. We pay them $30,000. That's going to be a $15 million program. And what that program is going to do is we're going to give them real training. We're going to give them soft skills training, what it means to go to work, all that kind of stuff, so that they get ready to go to work. And then we're going to give them training on how to renovate houses. We're going to train plumbers, electricians, the whole nine yards. And then what we're going to do is we're going to, instead of Nora being the greatest gentrification center in the city of New Orleans, what we're going to do is we're going to stop selling those properties to the highest bidder. We're going to sell these properties to the men that we train to
solution.
Fix this blight. And then you know what they're going to do? We're going to sell those properties to those men. They're going to city finance. And
solution.
So their money, their mortgage payment every month is going to be about $6 million if all of them buy a house and all of them should and would. Right. So then you have a self-funding program that now every time they make a mortgage payment, that goes back into the city mm-hmm. so that we can train the next group of young men and women to be a home renovator.
The Sewage and Water Board has about $2.1 billion in FEMA reimbursement funds. They have the consent decree program over the life, of the sewer mm-hmm. system and drainage mm-hmm. system, which is going to be about maybe $8 to $10 billion in construction over the next 7 to 10 years. You've identified them
exactly.
as an area of solution
too. The Sewage and Water Board ought to be the biggest jobs program in the history of the city of New Orleans. We need to hire, I estimate we need to hire about 2,000 men and women in the city of New Orleans, and we need to pay them $40,000 a year minimum to start.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, these numbers seem crazy, right? But let me tell you, it costs more than that. It costs $45,000 to incarcerate a man. You understand me? And so we're willing to pay money to put the people in jail. We're not willing. That sounds crazy when I say give them a job paying $40,000. You say, oh, Jeff, that doesn't make sense. Where's the money going to come from? They're not going to be in jail. They're going to be, in fact, they're going to be homeowners. They're going to create taxes. They're going to contribute to society. And then crime is going to go away. We're not going to need 1,000 police officers.
G said something earlier that you have also maintained for quite some time.
Yes, sir.
We really don't know. We don't have a handle. We have really not gotten a handle on the money that comes through the state.
That's right. That's right.
G has said that there should be an outside auditor to take a look at these boards and commissions. What do they generate?
Exactly.
What do they have in reserves? Where does their money? If they're public agencies.
Why don't you and I take that upon ourselves?
Done.
You write and contribute to Think 504, and I'll do the research with you.
Done.
And let's pick five. Let's just pick five. And we can bring the
information. We'll write about it and
people.
We'll do a show on it.
Exactly right. Done. All right. Let's do it.
Wow, you got a couple minutes left, man. You have you've lit it up. You're on fire. You've also offered solutions.
I have other solutions.
You got 2 minutes, man.
I got 2 minutes. Another solution would be right now. You know, we have so many elderly people who have properties that's falling down around them. That we need to train another. This is not home renovators who are going to be renovating. These are going to be people who know to do home repairs.
You're talking about the old TCA, Central City Housing, weatherization and minor repair program.
Exactly right.
Why don't we have that anymore?
Exactly right. And you know, here's the difference though. Unfortunately, too many times the contractors who did that didn't live in New Orleans. It's going to be a requirement that you be in New Orleans. Maybe even that you have a criminal record. In fact,
you got to have a record to work to do that work.
Exactly right. And you have a record, you do that work, and then all of a sudden we got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs for these men to do every single solitary day, and we're paying $40,000-$50,000 a year. So now we're taking men who can't get a job because they have criminal records. We're hiring them, we're putting them to work, and we're fixing people's houses in the city of New Orleans.
Jeff Thomas, how can people subscribe to your blog?
Just go to think504.com. Now, let me tell you, if you want to, we're redoing it. It's going to look a lot nicer. You can see a preview of it if you go to Colored Thought. Like Color Your Thoughts,
right.
ColoredThought.com. It's going to be the new Think 504. It's going to look great. It's exciting. In about a week or two, we'll roll out the new website, but it's going to be awesome.
Think 5, you promise to come back?
OT, whenever you have me, brother, I love it.
Between us, you want any little breaking news? Or what's coming next?
There is going to be something. You want to look at the Sheriff's Department, that's all I'm going to say, in Jefferson Parish.
My goodness. Think 504, one of the top investigative journalists and bloggers in our community right now, Jeff Thomas. When we come back, the number one parish president of all time.
Definitely like had the best jump shot.
And the best jump shot. I guarantee ain't no other parish president could beat him 101.
I want him on my team.
Want him on my team. And he brought one of the top housing experts in the city, the great Pam Williams. We'll be back after the break.
Beautiful thing. Thank you, OT.